Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the view from the 2nd Congressional District. Paulinos has the rundown.
Sam, today we have Congressman Dean Heller, who's going to be talking about everything from energy to the economy here in our state.
And on the Power Pundit panel today, Bill Bilyeu, John Griffin, and Mike Hillaby. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The people in Washington are finally talking seriously about reducing federal spending. President Obama and Harry Reid tell us we've made real progress on $100 million of spending reductions. $100 million sounds like a lot of money. Our brain hears $100 million, and we think that's a big pile of money from an even bigger pile of money. Here's a way to think about it. So let's say these five pennies represent $2 billion. And all of these represent what the federal government spends in a year. Of the $3.6 trillion, there are pieces that politicians don't like to really talk about. Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid, defense, and interest on the $12 trillion of debt we already have. And of that $3.6 trillion, about 40% is what we borrowed just this year. So this is the spending reduction Washington's proposing. We take one of these, and we do this. And this is Washington's idea of spending reduction from all of this. That's Washington's idea of saving money. Maybe it's time we sent a businessman to Washington. I'm John Chachas, and I approve this message, paid for by Chachas for Nevada.
Why are Harry Reid and my opponents attacking me? Because my conservative ideas are a threat to career politicians like them. I've spent my whole life fighting for less government. They know I'll shake up Washington. They want to make this about chickens and checks, a check I wrote decades ago and a statement they've taken out of context. That's what's wrong with Washington. Lies and dirty tricks. It's time we pull the plug on these boys. I'm Sue Loudon, and I approve this message.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This segment brought to you by the law firm of Kempfer Kroll, with offices in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome back to the program Congressman Dean Heller, representing Congressional District 2. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you, sir.
The news reported this morning, GM posting the first profit in 3 years, $865 million. They're planning to increase production. What do you think about that?
I think that's great. I hope it works out well. They've got a long way to go to get out from under all that taxpayer debt that they're under, but that's good news, and I hope that's good news across the country as far as the economy is concerned.
Does that affect in any way your thoughts about the bailout?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I think we should have gone back to restructuring. In fact, I think GM could have been profitable quicker if the bailout hadn't happened. But that being the case, I'm glad to see the numbers working the way they are for GM. I'm all for it. I think it's good for the economy, and hopefully it's good for Nevada. We're seeing some of Nevada's numbers picking up also a little bit with sales tax, some gaming revenues, and the anticipation with the gaming community is that things are bottoming out and they look for a brighter future.
Well, yeah, we definitely hope so. One of the things, though, that can put that brighter future kind of at a standstill is cap and trade, the American Power Act. Your colleagues in the Senate, Lieberman and Kerry, introduced it last week.
Yeah.
What would a cap and trade system do to Nevada?
Well, the purpose of tax and trade is to tax you so high that you change the way that you live your life. In other words, they want to tax you when you turn your light switch on. They want to tax you when you feed your family. They want to tax you when you drive your kids to school. That's the purpose. And if you can raise your taxes high enough, they will change. You will change your life. lifestyle. So they're hoping that by raising these energy costs so high, and it's going to have some particular impact on Nevada, especially when it comes to mining and agriculture. They believe that major industries will buy agricultural land so that they can use that to trade the CO2 output and sell off some of these ranches for the very purpose of doing the swaps, the capping and the trade.
So Nevada, that has so little of its hand in private control now, would be, you would take some of that land off the rolls and not have any production?
Well, it would be private companies that come and buy them. You know, major manufacturers are going to say, okay, we got to figure out how to reduce our CO2 output. Best way to do that is buy agricultural land up. 85% of the state's owned by the federal government, so no, it doesn't bode well for our agriculture industry here in Nevada. But it's going to affect mining. Mining, obviously, is going to create a tremendous amount with the amount of trucks that they run and everything, the impact for that. But if you want to diversify the economy here in Nevada, you're going to have to do that through manufacturing. And if we really stall the ability for a company to move or to produce a product based on their CO2 output, it's going to be very, very difficult for Nevada to diversify.
One of the things that I found interesting, and it was coincidence, is I was just reading this article this weekend in Range Magazine, C.J. Hadley's publication, and the article said that the cost per person in the United States is so low, and it's ridiculous. They're talking about maybe $200 per person, when in fact the actual cost per person in this country will be way, way higher than that.
On this issue?
Yes, on cap and trade.
That's what some magazine said?
It was Range Magazine, yes.
See, because I'm hearing numbers completely different from that. Coming from the Congressional Budget Office, we're talking as high as $2,500 to $3,000 a year,
right,
per person.
And that's what, you know, I want to put on the table here, is the actual cost per person is much higher than the original estimates that were put out, where it was only a couple hundred bucks per person, but in fact...
Right.
You know,
right.
For a family of four, that's $10,000
right.
a year.
And we're looking at environmental issues, and we're looking at our way to try to provide alternative sources of energy. Alternative sources of energy obviously would produce less CO2. Geothermal in Nevada is tremendous. Obviously, solar is tremendous, and we ought to be moving in that direction. But we need to be careful the way we do it and balance it so that at the end of the day, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when these alternative sources of energy are strong, we'll be prepared to do that. But let's not hurt the economy in the meantime or in the short term.
Do you really believe that by doing cap and trade that we actually will affect the atmosphere?
Do I? Well, let me just put it this way.
Because in the same article, they said that there's no way.
I don't know the answer to that question, and I don't think most people know the answer to that question. If you're asking me, you know, does it appear things are warming up? Yeah, I would say that things appear to be warming up a little bit. But is it cyclical? Probably. But I'm not going to discount all scientific evidence, but I'm very wary that we're going to make a tremendous impact on global warming if that's the case, simply through a cap-and-trade bill. What we do in the United States certainly isn't happening in China, Europe, other Asian countries, and I don't think that one country. But it's not wrong to lead. It isn't wrong to lead, and it's not wrong to go towards alternative sources of energy. I just think we need a balanced approach.
You know, green jobs have been, you know, that's kind of been the new buzzword, creating green jobs. Harry Reid has said he has created 41,000 green jobs in the state of Nevada. Do you think that's a true number?
That is a good question, and I think we can create green jobs. How many green jobs we can create, I don't know, but I think we ought to move in that direction. I don't have any problems with alternative sources. Even as a Republican in Congress, I have voted for certain standards when it comes to how much green energy we produce. I think that's all good. Let's just be very careful how we approach that. If we want 20% by 2020, I'm all for that, because there's some real upside to Nevada. Geothermal, solar, wind, all of those. I mean, we are really the capital of alternative energy in this country.
Why haven't we exploited that yet? I mean, you would think, I drive through Wyoming, you drive through the Midwest, you see these huge windmills up there.
Right.
It doesn't seem we've done a great job of exploiting that resource that we have here.
Well, geothermal to Reno could be what oil is to Houston. Problem is that 85% of the land is owned by the federal government. We can't get transmission lines. So it doesn't matter how many geothermal sites that you may have in northern Nevada, if you can't get energy from point A to point B because we can't get the transmission lines through because the federal government restricts it.
Okay,
then
but
we can't exploit.
Hang on a second. We've got the corridor in the eastern portion of Nevada now.
Right,
it's being developed with MV Energy and LS Power so that we will actually have for the first time a connection between the two ends of the state.
Right.
Doesn't that then encourage development, hopefully with low-cost loans from the federal government, to build the transmission lines to the geothermal areas?
Right, and hopefully that will be the case as long as the environmentalists or the EPA or something doesn't restrict the ability to build those transmission lines. I think it's time to move forward on this, and it's time to take a look at legislation. I'm producing legislation right now that would give these private companies the ability to do the standards and look at the standards necessary to build these lines. So anyway, we're going to move forward on this. It's just taking more time than's necessary.
Well, also private industry is moving forward. The Pethamill in Reno is tapping their geothermal for all the water for the entire property, and they'll recoup their costs within very few years. And
hopefully.
They're spending millions of dollars to do this.
Right.
I think it's brilliant.
One of the problems is that they're talking about listing sagehen on the Endangered Species Act. If they do that, they're going to take a swath of Nevada that sagehen breed and live in and say, hey, you can't touch this particular area. That's most of northern Nevada. Now, if you start doing that, it's going to restrict more and more the ability to get these transmission lines in. All I'm saying is we've got to get these transmission lines in. I'm for it. I want to see it happen. And the less regulations and the more we can get the federal government out of the way, the quicker it's going to happen.
All right, let's take a break. More with Congressman Hilly when we come back.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10000.com.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
This segment brought to you by the law firm of Kempfer Kroll, with offices in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dean Hella, Congressman for Congressional District 2. The banking industry took kind of a hit last week and surprised a lot of people with the fees on debit cards being looked at.
Right.
Is there a mood in Congress to really hammer the banks because of the mood of the country?
Well, I think the Congress is already hammering the banks. You know, they took all this taxpayer money and these bailouts, and you're not seeing the response that would have been anticipated with that kind of resources getting into these banks.
Well, we kind of anticipated that. Banks are making money because they're taking money at zero and buying treasury bonds.
Absolutely.
And they're not loaning it out.
Absolutely. No, it's very, very frustrating. Frustrating for the consumers, frustrating for members of Congress. And right now, the banking industry is part of the problem in stalling this economy, not enabling private sector to move forward.
Is it a problem with stability? I mean, most businesses, before they make decisions on where they're going to spend their money or if to spend their money, they want to look at stability from, you know, a legal or from a regulatory standpoint. And it doesn't seem like we have a lot of that out there.
Yeah. Well, there's some bad messages, and I think we're sending some bad messages out of Washington, D.C. Every time you talk about new regulations, every time you talk about more taxes, of course, there's going to be a real lack of stability out there. But right now, the banks are between a rock and a hard spot. You know, you got the president out there and members of Congress, including myself, saying we've got to loan money. We need to get money out to the private sector. FDIC's coming in and said, hey, hold on a minute. You know, you have to, we want to clean up these books first.
We're at 72 banks closed today, which is more than double of where we were last year.
Yeah. No, no, and it's not surprising, but it should be smoother. This is not smooth. The saving and loan crisis was 10 times that big, but it went much smoother. So there's some real frustrations out there with the Bank of America's and other banks out there because of their failed lending practices.
And Senator Reid announced last week that they are opening some more mortgage mitigation centers, one in Henderson, one in Las Vegas,
right,
and one in Reno.
But we have a full-time staff member, so that you know, if you have questions or problems with your mortgage and foreclosure problems, please call my office, because we have a member in my office works full-time on the issue.
You know, it was interesting. A high-level banker in this state was talking to me the other day and was working on mortgage mitigation for a couple of friends pro bono, and said that the thing that was astonishing was, as a banker, she had no say in the discussion. It was all about the attorneys.
Sounds, it's frustrating.
I wanted to bring up a story in the New York Times today. In Trenton, New Jersey, they're issuing IDs for illegal immigrants. And one of the people quoted said, when you don't have a proper ID, people can humiliate you. And it's juxtaposing, the story is juxtaposing what's happening in Trenton, New Jersey, where they're issuing IDs.
Right.
And what's going on in Arizona. But the thrust of the story is that the states are now, and cities are being forced to do the federal government's job.
That's true.
Do you think
that's
that
true.
We are going to see any kind of immigration reform in Congress this year?
No, I don't. But I have been talking about this issue for 3.5 years now, since I've been back in Washington, D.C. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having an ID. Whether you have a driver's license, most of us have a driver's license, but even if you don't have a driver's license, you can get a government ID. Go down to DMV and they'll issue that to you. I don't have any problems with that. But you're right. The reason Arizona did what they did was out of frustration. Absolute frustration over the federal government. I've been talking about this for 3.5 years. It is a hot, hot topic. And I think if it comes up, especially if it includes amnesty, which I'm opposed to, it would be an issue that I don't think the majority party wants in front of them coming into November.
But do you not see that it's going to be a nightmare across this country if every individual area has their own immigration
laws? Well, you take Arizona laws. Arizona's law is not that different than the federal law. The only difference in Arizona is they can't deport. Federal government's the only one that can deport. So Arizona's laws are actually parallel with what the federal government is doing. I think this thing has gotten blown out of proportion.
What do you think about the backlash that Arizona's got? I turned on the news today. There were two city councilmen from Los Angeles,
right,
railing against Arizona, saying we don't want to send any business to Arizona.
Yeah.
What do you think about that backlash? Is
15
that
15 seconds.
It costs too much. I think in Arizona, it just costs too much. Right now, I don't think they care about the backlash. What they're worried about is the cost that is coming to Arizona, what they have to bear.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. It was a pleasure to have you here,
Thank
sir.
Thank you.
Come back soon. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Own a timeshare? Turn it into cash.
No more mortgage payments.
Thank you, Timeshares Only.
At Timeshares Only, you'll find properties from the biggest names in the industry. If you want to buy, sell, or rent, call now. Call Timeshares Only and get your free information kit with our insider secrets to buying, selling, and renting timeshares. Plus, receive a free $100 gift card.
Over $5 billion sold in the past 6 months proves now can be the best time to sell.
Call 800-314-2352. That's 800-314-2352. Call 800-314-2352 now.
It's D-Day at the City of Las Vegas. The city manager will be here with the bottom line on the city budget and layoffs. Plus, bringing another debate for the state Senate between incumbent Dennis Nolan and his Republican challenger Elizabeth Halseth. Next, Face to Face.
Hi, I'm Trina Stevens with Internet Auto Rent and Sales, your one and only new car alternative store. At Internet, you always get more for your money, like payments as low as $99 a month and priced thousands less than our competitors, with savings up to 40% and even 50% less than new. You can get the vehicle you really want, equipped the way you want, and fitting nicely in your budget. So remember, why pay the difference if you can't tell the difference at Internet Auto Rent and Sales?
Why should you hire a personal injury attorney? To prevent insurance companies from taking advantage of you.
That way, you don't have to go it alone. You need someone to fight for you.
When you're injured, it can change your life. and life-changing decisions need to be taken seriously.
When you hire Bob and me, all you need to worry about is getting better. And let us get you back on track.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
With Charter Business, when opportunity knocks, you're ready. With tools that help you succeed. Super fast, reliable, high-speed internet. Dedicated business phone with nationwide calling. Act now to save with our best offer ever for new customers.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mike Hillaby is here, Executive Vice President of Wingfield Nevada Group, one of our proud sponsors. Bill Bilyeu, former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, and John Griffin with Camp for Kroll. Pleasure to have you all here. So Mark Amaday is now the head of the Republican Party. Does this mean that we'll actually have somebody who can organize, raise funds, put together the party and platform?
Well, he'll be funnier than any party chair we've had in a long time.
That's true.
For sure. He's got a great wit. So, no. You know, he's well-liked, he's well-organized. Somebody over the weekend said, you know, it'll be fun having the Democrats poke at him a little bit for 2003. But, you know, he's well-organized, he's well-liked, he's very bright. So it's going to be an interesting change.
He's inheriting nothing.
Yeah, there's no organization out there. I mean, it was kind of a Pyrrhic victory that the ultra-right wing in the Republicans won in Hawthorne at the convention because they got a chairman that was not going anyplace and did nothing. And I'm delighted to see Mark there. Mark's balanced.
Okay, now, it's going to be interesting because, you know, I think Mark would be considered a centrist. Would I be correct in saying that? The Tea Party, very active in Nevada. How does this all come together?
Well, if you, Mark's votes over the last maybe two sessions in the legislature have been very conservative. He voted against every single tax increase. Was one of the only Republican votes, on all sorts of things. So I'm not so sure that I think Mark's probably gone closer to the Tea Party people. And but you know, if anybody can kind of smooth that over, you know, look, as a party chair, Mark has the perfect personality to either laugh about it, joke about it, rise above it. You know, and Mark goes fairly far back with Chuck Muth, and he can tease and rib Chuck as well as anybody else can.
You know, I think Mark's probably, he's probably one of the smartest legislators in Carson City. So, I mean, I think it's a big boon to the Republican Party. I'm not sure if it's a big boon to Mark, because, I mean, yeah, that is a thankless, hellacious kind of job, and I don't know why anyone would want to take it, but I think the Republican Party is well-served to have him. And you know, you look at Mark's votes, I mean, I think he has some of the actually most reasoned votes I've ever seen. You know, he's somebody who, if he votes against taxes, he'll vote against the budget. You don't see that a lot from mm-hmm. politicians. They like to say, oh, we're against taxes, but we're for education. Yeah. So, you know, they vote for the mechanism that requires the higher taxes. So I think that at least, you know, Mark is a really honest guy as far as that goes.
Intellectually honest, well, very much so.
Absolutely.
And that would be refreshing.
Okay, so let's talk about judging the judges. The Review Journal does their annual poll of judges, and one of the things is that Clark County attorneys are overwhelmingly supporting the modified Missouri plan, which is where judges would be nominated by the governor rather than going through the election process. It seems to me that makes a lot of sense, because every time a judge runs unopposed, there is a collective sigh from every law firm in the state that they don't have to put money in.
Tell me about it.
But which is really the better system?
I think the modified Missouri plan is a good plan, and it does, as I recall it, it does initially an appointment by ordinarily by a panel who's going to pass a qualification, then an election afterwards to whether or not that person is retained or not. That makes a lot of sense. Right now...
But doesn't that make it inherently political?
Any more political than this now? When I've got maybe ten judges who are running for office, and believe me, not all, but most of them will remember if you don't contribute.
It's a much better system, which is why we'll never pass it here.
Yeah. Well, good point.
I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's a good system in Clark County, or even Washoe, where there's so many judges, and that all, you know, most of them all run the same cycle or similar cycles, and you've got all these judicial signs out there, and the voters, you know, they don't know whether one incumbent judge is running against another incumbent judge, you know, you Department 16 versus Department 13. But out in the rural counties or like Carson City where you've got two judges, I think, you know what, in those areas where the judges' decisions are constantly in the local paper, you know what, that's a, the electoral process is a good way to go.
Well, I mean, really, it's, I mean, this is to hopefully prevent people like Elizabeth Halverson from getting elected. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest, thing to have to, yes. you're right, to hold up there. You're bad, Sam. You know, to say we don't want to elect people who really have no business serving as judges and put it into their hands. I mean, I do have a little bit of a problem personally with kind of giving that away. You know, you want to be able to elect anybody, but, you know, absolutely understand the logic of it.
All right, last topic, and we've only got about a minute left here. The visioning stakeholders group, your thoughts on what's come out. It's almost like it leaked out because there's not a final plan on the table.
Yeah, it was odd. They had a consultant write a part that came out and it got hammered in the paper as their report, and they rejected it because it came from the consultant. So it's a little hard yet to figure out where this is all going and whether or not, like every other report, it's going to have much impact or not.
Great thoughts.
That's precisely the point. I mean, my God, if we, how many warehouses full of reports do we have? Whenever there is an insoluble problem, let's form a committee and let's do a report.
Well, and the vision stakeholders, the makeup of all the private interests and, is a good one. They haven't even issued a report yet on what their thought is on the future vision 5, 10, 15 years of the state.
But it's not private interests. I mean, you look at that committee, and I mean, it's overwhelmingly public sector folks. It's not the people who are going to be paying the nut for what they want.
Well, speaking on behalf of some of my clients that are on there, there's some really quality
You're right, but there's too few of them.
And that's where we have to leave. We'll be right back on Nevada News Vegas after this timeout.
Good job, John.
Fed up with politicians who won't tell the truth? Like Rory Reed's Washington friends running these ads lying about Brian Sandoval. Brian never sued to increase taxes, and he opposes driver's licenses for undocumented workers. And Jim Gibbons, he says he never raised taxes, but he did. $300 million in new taxes on us while he pressured local officials to cut his own taxes. Reed and Gibbons, everything that's wrong with public service. Brian Sandoval, honest, conservative leadership.
Are you interested in saving a lot of money on your next appliance purchase? Appliance Outlet receives hundreds of brand new appliances weekly. We specialize in box store misorders and some scratch and ding, which allow us to sell directly to the public at or below wholesale prices. Our experienced staff specializes in mid to high-end appliances at low-end prices. We offer full delivery and installation as well as a factory-trained service department. In this tough economy, why pay any more than you need to? Appliance Outlet in Carson City, where you can save up to 65% every day.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures.
You can download podcasts of Nevada Newsmakers by going to iTunes. It's free of charge.
Tomorrow, Sam, we have Annette Whittemore and Dr. Donica Moore.
Right here. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.